And we thank you so much for being here with us. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. This is The Lowdown. Welcome to those listening wherever you may be. If you're listening on radio.com, we appreciate it. If you're listening on KHDK.com, we appreciate it. I feel the need. I feel like we have to start doing this once or twice on a rather regular basis, is let the people who know that are listening on radio.com. That's probably going to change here within the next week or two.
Okay.
We're going to have a different platform for you to listen. As soon as we know what that platform is, I promise we'll let you know. Just prepare to, whether it's download another app or make a switch or whatever it may be. But I promise we'll keep you updated on all of that stuff. Just wanted to give you a heads up. That's probably going to change in the next couple of weeks here. In the age of, you know, we're going to get to one small thought on the NFC. We got winners and losers of week 9 of the NFL season coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, as well as tickets to the Causeway Classic coming your way. The Ric Flair 30 for 30 is tonight. We'll talk about that in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll give you our second round of college football playoff rankings. Those are coming out tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, as I'm thinking about that, you know, you noted this yesterday, Jason. I don't know how much. I don't one through four aren't changing, probably.
I don't think so. Maybe an outside chance of four, maybe. But
there's a whole lot of changing after
yes.
that. We'll give you a little look into that, at least what we think maybe coming out tonight while we're all at the Golden One Center for this. Or actually, it'll be just before it'll be just before we go to the Golden One Center. In the information age where you have to know everything immediately, there's a report that Roy Holiday's a plane registered to Roy Holiday has crashed in the Gulf of Mexico. The identity of the person on the plane, we don't know.
Right. But the person didn't survive, correct? That's the report.
That's the report. Yes, yes. There's someone. You know, there is someone who passed away in the plane crash. We don't know if it was Roy Holiday. We don't know who it was.
Yeah.
But as soon as we can get confirmation on any of that, a lot of people are texting us about it. It's a hot story on Twitter. But there is absolutely no confirmation that Roy Holiday was in that plane. But of course, we'll keep monitoring that situation, and as soon as we have confirmation on whether it is or it wasn't, we will relay that information to you. But whether it was Roy Holiday or someone else, just a bad story coming out of the Gulf of Mexico. There, you can keep your text coming. Different breaking news story. What's wrong with these what's UCLA? Like, what is wrong with these UCLA people? Jason,
I'm not buying it.
LiAngelo Ball and multiple other UCLA players, Bruins.
Two others.
Three Bruins, Jason.
It's a setup.
Arrested for shoplifting in China. Jason, you know where I'm going. Get your boys. Get your boys.
It's a bad look. I have no answer to that one.
All right. You sure? LiAngelo, what's the bar is going to.
LeVar's yeah, now someone maybe needs to interview him.
Now we need LeVar's opinion on something.
I don't know. We don't, honestly.
You know, I know if it was Keyshawn Johnson, he'd yank him straight out of college.
True.
He'd be like, oh, for real?
Yeah.
This how you act?
Yeah.
Cool. Come here.
Right.
Stay. Go to
You're
community
done.
College for
right.
the next couple years, you little spoiled brat. Let's get into one small thought. J. Ross, should mention, sorry, bad host here. Fred Katz, the Norman Transcript. Oklahoma City Thunder are in town tonight at the Golden One Center. Fred Katz will be with us at 1:30, so just about 24 minutes from now. We will talk to him about the Thunder and about the Kings tonight. One small thought. You want to start?
Sure, absolutely. And since you said we have the NFC, I'll go with NFC North and start with the Chicago Bears. My one small thought for the Bears, hopefully the bye week will give the Bears some time to work on their playbook. And what I mean by that, they have committed to Trubisky, and I think that's fine. He's done some good things. They've been more competitive. They've won a couple of games. That's good. But they are dead last in passing offense, 32 overall, and that needs to expand. He's been throwing passes, not many attempts, but it's just short checkdowns underneath. And I know you want to build it up. You want to make it easier for him. That's fine. But you had a full week of extra practice or extra time to get ready for the back half of the season. And I really hope that that time off gives them an opportunity to expand their offense, expand his potential, and see truly what they have in Trubisky. Detroit Lions, my one small thought for them is...
You're not going to drop any Mitch pun in there or nothing?
You have anything?
Well, I got like 10 of them. What's my favorite word? Mitch better have my money.
Yeah.
I got 99 problems, but a Mitch ain't one. Is Wayne Brady going to have to slap a Mitch?
That's pretty good. You were ready to roll with that. Wow, I asked and received.
Been working on them since the draft. What do you mean?
The Detroit Lions. Now with, I think
you're so much more professional than I am.
No, I just wanted to see. You stopped at four. I thought you might have another few more.
So we only got two more hours.
Yeah. Now with the best QB in the division, this could be the way the Lions conquer the North. I mean, they really have the best quarterback, without a doubt. Now that Rodgers is out, we just mentioned Trubisky. You've got Keenum quarterbacking the Vikings, Hundley and Green Bay. This is it. This is the avenue for Detroit. They're 4-4. They're two back of Minnesota, but they have already defeated the Vikings, so they got the game in hand over them, a softer schedule coming up, and with clearly Matt Stafford playing very well, played well last night, I think they should have a realistic goal of winning the division. It is right there. I know they're two back, but Lions have the win, like I said, over the Vikings. They play them again. If they beat them then and keep the pressure on with strong quarterback play, I see their avenue going that route.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers. Well, my one small thought is, I guess Rodgers is kind of a big deal. And we knew it, but now it's becoming very obvious. And the Pack haven't won since he got hurt. They've lost all three games that they, you know, he got hurt in the one 3 games ago, but all three now by 9 points or more. And though Hundley, I mean, last night, again, stats, they were okay. They were fine. But he's not a difference maker. I mean, I don't think he's killing them, but he's not making them better. Mm-hmm. And that's what Rodgers clearly was doing. And there's no fear going to Lambeau. There's no fear going against this offense. The defense is just ordinary. It's tough times.
Do you think Lambeau was a real thing? I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking about the Monday Night Football game, and we gave the stat how the Lions – remember,
yeah.
You know, the Lions, this is like the second time the Lions have won in like 25 years or something. Like, is this really – first of all, the Lions were terrible for most of those years. But Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers playing at home, and we just disguise it as, well, it's cold.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
No, it's those two guys.
Okay. That's kind of what I was getting at. So I feel like we're killing a mystique that hasn't existed in a really long time, but we're talking – it's not like I don't know, Brock Osweiler is – but every time he gets into Lambeau, boy, you can't touch Brock Osweiler in Lambeau. He stinks everywhere else in the country, but, man, when there's something about that Lambeau field. It's like – nah, they have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks who fell one after the other.
And playing at great levels, yeah.
Might have something to do with it.
For sure. The last one from the NFC North is the Minnesota Vikings. And I say the one small thought, just keep ignoring the 6-2 team. I mean, they are doing it halfway through the season without what was supposed to be their starting quarterback. He's been out for a portion of this season. Also, Dalvin Cook, who we've talked about before, their leading rusher, is out. Defense, special teams, and a solid offense has worked to a mild 4-game win streak. They're at 6-2, and people are not talking about them enough. They should feel good about that. And you also have to be impressed with what Mike Zimmer has done, the Zimmer and coaching staff, because, again, to lose who you plan on being your quarterback in Bradford, Keenum, who not a lot of people were high on, has kept it going, and then to lose Dalvin Cook, who everybody was excited about, to lose him, but Jerick McKinnon, the rest of the offense, they've done a nice job. And Latavius Murray, so here they are, 6-2. They should feel good about that. Coaching staff has done a good job of keeping them more than relevant. I don't know that I would say it's their division to lose, but watch out, certainly, for Detroit.
Mitch, please. Move, Mitch. Get out the way.
I like that one.
Some more coming in. You know, as you were going through all of that, we always have conversations about what divisions have the best quarterbacks, like from top to bottom in all the football. As you just went through all of those teams in the NFC North, I realized with Dalvin Cook out, not one of them has a running game.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard
would be the best rusher.
I guess that's not fair because Jordan Howard, I think, might be
– he's up there.
He might be one of the best rushers in the entire
this
league.
Season at least, yeah.
But when you look at – I was thinking about – we mentioned Ty Montgomery did not help the Packers last night, or didn't help Brett Hundley specifically. Detroit?
Abdullah's okay.
Nothing.
Yeah,
nothing. That's – weird, you know, and Dalvin Cook is out. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, I guess so. Jordan Howard is the one exception to that rule, and that's the worst team in the conference right now. I don't know that they're going to end that way, by the way. I don't know that the Bears are going to end, or worst team in the division. I don't know if the Bears are going to end that way. I don't know that the Packers will be able to.
I was going to say it would only be Green Bay, right?
I don't know.
Have to go backwards because I don't see Detroit is the best offensive player left. Stafford. So, I don't see, and a good schedule, I don't see them going backwards.
Let's get to the NFC South. Jay Ross, halfway through the season, the Saints rank 9th in NFL in scoring defense, 15th in total offense, 12th against the pass, and 7th in the league against the opposing passer rating. Now, all of that is pretty spectacular. When you take out the first two games that they lost to Minnesota and New England, they'd be top five in all of those categories if you remove those two games. When you look at, you know, we mentioned total defense right there. 2014, they were 31st. 2015, they were 31st. 2016, they were 27th. This year, 15th. Same with scoring defense, 28th, 32nd, 31st. This year, 9th. They have won six straight games on the backs of their defense. Dennis Allen, their coordinator there, is doing a fantastic job. Headed to Buffalo this week, though. This is my one small thought on the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are giving up 116 yards rushing per game. That's 19th in the NFL. Good for 29th, or bad for 29th. The point is, they're bad defending the run. They have a pretty good runner that they're going to have to deal with this week. They're going to have to step that run defense up headed into Week 10. The Panthers, the defense makes its money on third down. Atlanta converted on just 33% of their third downs. They were 4 for 12 while finishing 0 for 3 on fourth downs. Cam Newton, he makes his money on the ground. He's not having a particularly strong season throwing the ball down the field, but he started the season averaging 5.8 carries a game. That was through the first 5 weeks. He's averaged 10 rushes over the last four games. He led the Panthers in rushing four games in a row, and he had a season-high 86 yards rushing against the Falcons. Of Cam Newton's 9 carries versus Atlanta, 7 were designed runs, and 2 were scrambles, including that pretty spectacular head-first diving, stretching touchdown that he had. The Panthers have the Dolphins coming up on Monday night. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, y'all got me, man. Y'all got me. I thought Jameis had matured. He hasn't. His childish nonsense led to Mike Evans coming to his aid. And I really don't fault Mike Evans that much. It was a cheap shot and all that. I'm not taking that away. He was coming to the defense of his quarterback. Maybe he didn't see what was going on between Marshawn Lattimore and his quarterback. That is all on Jameis Winston. His hype speeches are awful. They were bad on Hard Knocks. Everything about Jameis Winston is bad. Dude's got his fingers in his mouth. He's forming the W, the old West Side W with his hands. It's like, dude, you're no. Like, that doesn't make me want to play football. That makes me want to like hit you in the face. Like, what are you doing? Plus, he hasn't thrown a touchdown in 2 weeks. Now he's out for at least 2 weeks. They've lost 5 straight, man. The Bucs got me. Matty Ice, though. The Atlanta Falcons. Matty Ice is playing it cool. He told 680 The Fan on his weekly radio show. Well, I think it's fair to say we have a lot of work to do. I think we're halfway through the season. Like they say all the time, they don't give the trophy out this time of year. Falcons started the season 3-0. They've dropped 4 of their past 5, including that one to Carolina that we mentioned just a second ago. Last year, the Falcons averaged 33.8 points per game under Kyle Shanahan, 21.3 points per game under Steve Sarkisian. Don't knock the Cowboys' defense. They've played pretty well, and that's who they got coming up this week. This could be another really rough go for the Atlanta Falcons. It's the NFC South, Jay Ross.
All right, so now we transition to the NFC East. You mentioned the Cowboys. That's where we begin. And my one small thought for them is these are not the 2-3 Cowboys. And ever since the bye week, they haven't lost. Ever since they had that clunker back in week 2 against Denver, they're averaging 33 points a game. So the offense has found something. They've got the offensive rhythm. I know you've been wanting them to run Zeke more. I think they found a good balance with him. And what can't get lost, we've made sure it's not getting lost, but Dak Prescott's really playing well. So I would say with the Cowboys finding their rhythm, a confidence that we haven't seen from them since the early going, the NFC should be a little worried about this team because there's a lot of talent there, and they're playing really good football right now. So be alert. Be on alert the rest of the NFC for the Cowboys.
Ugh. Said Jedi. You do these. You do these mind tricks. It was the same thing you did on Friday with the UFC. This is a mind trick. It's all going to hell for the Cowboys now. That's it. Zeke's probably he probably just got the phone call. Now you're out 8 weeks because J-Ross said how well you guys are playing.
Well, then I hope it worked on our mid-range city. So now the Kings hit 15 threes tonight.
See, it's your mind tricks. Watch it. Watch it tonight. Watch the Kings go for 15 threes. You heard it here first. On the lowdown.
Yeah. All right, let's go next to the Giants.
Sorry.
Do we have the breaking news?
It was Roy Holiday. Oh, yeah, man. That was Roy Holiday's plane that crashed in the Gulf of Mexico. So that story that we did bring to you at the top of the hour, a private plane that was registered to Roy Holiday that crashed on the Gulf of Mexico did belong to the two-time Cy Young winner, and it was Roy Holiday who was in it. He has passed away at the age of 40.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no way to segue,
lame,
right?
Yeah, lame transition, but we did want to get that to you. It's a story that's coming up on Twitter a lot. A lot of people on the text line have asked about it. So that is where we are. Roy Holiday has passed away at the age of 40 from a plane crash in Florida. Sorry, transition back however we
yeah,
can.
Yeah, well, we'll just go. There's no other way to do it. All right, New York Giants is our one small thought for them as we continue in the NFC East. Injuries are one thing, but when effort gets questioned, that is when it becomes unacceptable. And I think that's what people are starting to talk about, and that's not good. New York, they have plenty of excuses for and reasons for why the record is poor. We get it. We see who's out. We know why it's out, why they're out. But there is just no life to the team, no pulse, no energy. And when you don't have effort, that should not be a situation here. We're questioning now whether Eli should start this week, whether second-year Ben McAdoo, the coach there, should he continue on. This is bad, and now when the talk is this week, Damian, for the game against the 49ers, they're already talking about how it's going to affect the draft picks. And that's where the Giants are from 11-5 to, well, would it be better to lose to improve their draft stock? I'm thinking,
wow,
man, how far have they fallen?
I've never heard anything like that come from the Giants before.
I know. It's just, it really feels rare for them. Philadelphia Eagles, one small thought, feel good. But don't feel comfortable. And why I say that, they have a 7-game win streak. I think as we speak, they're the NFL's best team record, says it. But even how they've played. You've got the leading candidate for MVP right now. You've got the leading candidate for Coach of the Year. Made a good trade last week to add Ajayi. But keep a close eye on Dallas. This is no intent to do any mind tricks, but they're two back.
Yeah.
And Dallas beat them already. The two meetings remaining to go. And they've got a bye week. They're hoping that the bye week doesn't derail any kind of this momentum. But feel good, but just not fully comfortable in reading everything that people are saying about them. And then the last one, Washington. Resume is very strong, quality wins, and no bad losses. This team has the good wins. I mean, they beat the Rams on the road, beat the Seahawks on the road. Also a convincing home run over the Raiders. Their losses, they look fine. Two losses to Philly. They lost to Dallas. They lost to Kansas City. They just need to keep this theme up. If they keep beating the teams you think they're supposed to and add a couple more quality wins, this actually could be a division that gets three. And I don't know that we would have thought that before. I mean, if we think Detroit or it might be the one representing there, we got to be careful of the West because Seattle and the Rams.
But the South also. Remember, we're not super high on Carolina. They're only at three losses.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Who can maintain it?
Right. But I think there's a chance for three teams out of the – not predicting it, but there's a chance for three out of the NFC East.
Let's go to the NFC West, J-Ross. You realize there's a game Thursday that could blow this whole division apart?
Yeah, if it goes poorly for Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Cardinals play the Seahawks on Thursday. The Cardinals are 4-4.
I don't think they've won 4. I don't believe that.
But here, I'll clarify that for you. It's hard to judge any team after beating the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Let's be clear. They've beaten the San Francisco 49ers twice.
Okay, that's half of them.
They beat the Indianapolis Colts by 3.
Is that an OT, I think?
And they beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 5. Those are the 4 games that the Arizona Cardinals have won.
They may end 4-12.
The Seahawks, the Texans, the Jags, and the Rams. That's their next 4 games.
Wow.
Drew Stanton's life is about to be miserable. Absolutely miserable. The Los Angeles. Well, let's go to the Seattle Seahawks first, because we just mentioned they got the Cardinals coming up on Thursday Night Football. We won't have that game for you because we don't think it's going to be very good. We're going to go with the Sixers and the Kings instead. That's a little bit more important. Why can't you be consistent, man? Come on, you're coming off of this this thriller with Houston, where it's 41-38. Everyone's raving about it. The game of the year. Then you have a pillow fight with Washington for, you know, 3.5 quarters, 17-10 is the final. You have Russell Wilson with this incredible fourth quarter, take the lead drive. I am planning this big monologue on how great Russell Wilson is, how great Russell Wilson is in the fourth quarter, how he has the highest QBR in the fourth quarter, how he's better than Rodgers, better than Brady, all of that. And the strong suit, what Seattle hangs their hat on, let them down. The defense let Kirk Cousins walk right down there and score a touchdown. It snapped their 5-game win streak against NFC East opponents. Blair Walsh, they got a kicking problem, man.
Yeah, they do.
Blair Walsh missed 3 of his field goals. He stood out during halftime, kept kicking field goals, never got an opportunity to do it again. Come on, Seahawks, be consistent. The Rams, this team is special, man. I can't say enough good things about them. They're coming off 10 consecutive losing seasons, and they're leading the NFL right now with a +108 point differential. Their offense was dead last in the NFL in yards the last 2 years, and they have topped, as we noted yesterday, they have topped their point total from last year, from 16 weeks last year to this year. They got great balance. Jared Goff, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, Tavon Austin, I think those guys are all legitimate superstars. And I got one small thought on the San Francisco 49ers, and you're going to hate it. I'll give you that in just a little bit. Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript joins us next here on The Lowdown. Wanted to play a Ric Flair soundbite right there, but it doesn't feel appropriate. It's just I hate when these are just bad stories, man, when they come in. As you just heard Chris mention there, at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, there were reports coming in that a plane had crashed in the Gulf of Mexico, and it was registered to Roy Halladay, and it was kind of, people were kind of scrambling around trying to figure out, well, was it Roy Halladay in the plane? And it turns out it was the 2-time Cy Young winner. 40 years old, man.
Yep.
40 years old. Just brutal. Just brutal. Hate to do the thoughts and prayers thing, man, but damn. Fred Katz is going to join us. Fred Katz from the Norman Transcript is going to join us here in just a heartbeat. And I left you with a hell of a cliffhanger regarding the San Francisco 40. I'm not going to give it to you yet. We got to talk to Fred.
Okay.
Fred first. We got to get Fred Katz on from the Norman Transcript. So we'll save that for you here in just a little bit. Fred, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I had thrown some stats at J. Ross here a little bit about the Oklahoma City Thunder leading a couple of categories, steals, deflections, being at the top of defensive ratings in the NBA. Are they a good defensive team, or is that a little bit of fool's gold?
Oh, no. They're definitely good. I mean, Steven Adams has become, I think, one of the best pick-and-roll defenders in the NBA, and they've used him really as a really versatile defensive center, you know, whether they send him from the rim and switch him on the guards. They drop him back as a rim protector. And, you know, Paul George has incredible defensive instincts. Andre Robertson is a reigning all defensive guy. So they've got a lot of defensive talent, even coming off the bench, whether it's, you know, Jeremy Grant, who's a really athletic, switchy guy, too. I think they're a team that certainly has the personnel, and Billy Donovan's a good defensive coach, too, to finish in the top five in defense. I think it's possible they end up being more of a defensive-minded team than an offensive-minded one, even though they have kind of those big offensive stars.
Yeah, so Fred, with that, I mean, you have the three guys all that are all-stars scoring 20 a game. The defensive ratings look good. So is this just a matter of time before it all gels? Because I really do think they're going to be good. I know it's a little bit of a slow start. What do you attribute the record to what it is, at least now?
They've lost some close games. And like last year, for example, they won 47 games. But if you look at, you guys have referenced offensive defensive rating, if you look at the net rating, the point differential per 100 possessions, they shouldn't have been a 47 win team. They were more like a 500 team. Their net rating, they were actually outscored per 100 possessions last year by, I think, 0.2 points. So they were pretty much an average team, but they were incredible in crunch time. They were the second best team in the NBA in games that were within 5 points with five or fewer minutes to go. And that was just because Russell Westbrook was absolutely insane in those moments. And this year, it's kind of ironically gone the other way. They've four of their five losses have been really close games, which could have gone, you know, could have gone either way. And if they just split those games, if Andrew Wiggins doesn't hit a crazy 35 bank shot at the buzzer to win by two, and, you know, in a game they lose by three, you know, maybe things go a little bit differently down the stretch, then all of a sudden they're 6-3. And we're not really talking about the early struggles. There are things they have to fix on offense. They're middle of the pack in offense right now, and they're not really getting to the free throw line. And there are certain things that I think they need to get better at. Absolutely, there's no question about it. But the optics would look a lot better if those close games turned out a little bit differently.
Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript with us here on the Lowdown. The Thunder are at the Golden 1 Center tonight against your Sacramento Kings. Something's got to give here tonight. You mentioned that the Oklahoma City Thunder don't shoot a lot of free throws. They don't get to the line very often, but they do commit a lot of fouls. And they're ninth in the league in terms of the most fouls committed. Sacramento doesn't get to the foul line either. Something's got to give tonight, right? Or are we just getting a free throw free game?
Yeah, that's a great point. I actually hadn't even thought about that. Maybe. I mean, I could see them pulling back on the fouls in a game like this one because of the way that they defend. I could see them defending a little bit more conservatively than they did against, say, Portland in their last game when they switched everything, or Milwaukee when they sent Steven Adams really far from the rim because they had to go up against, you know, Giannis and Antetokounmpo pick and rolls. So I could see them being a little bit more conservative tonight as a defensive team, and in that case, maybe drawing back some of the fouls. What's weird about them not getting fouled is that they're actually taking a really high concentration of their shots at the rim. It's not like they're one of those teams that just – it's not like Detroit, where Detroit's not getting fouled and they're just relying on jump shots and take a lot of mid-range shots, and that's kind of it. With this team, like, they're something like 30-something percent of their shots have come at the rim. They're third in the NBA in terms of the percentage of their shots that come at the rim. So that should translate to getting fouled more. And it's just kind of not. So I do think that's something that's going to change and have a little bit more of an upward progression, because like a guy like Russell Westbrook gets fouled a lot and he just hasn't really been doing it through the first nine games. And I think you can say the same thing for some other guys too. Maybe it starts tonight. I don't know. Maybe not, but yeah, I guess the numbers do say we might see somewhat of a foul free game. Maybe it'll be quick. We can all go home early.
Fred, how is the personality part of the makeup work? Because you've got, you know, three stars, three very good players in Westbrook and George and in Carmelo Anthony. How have those three on the court, personality-wise, connected?
So far, it all seems to be gelling well, personality-wise. I actually think that's, of all the things you have to consider when you have three guys who have all been number one guys in the previous year, when those guys come together, you know, there are obviously so many things you need to think about in that situation, so many different things that you have to make an effort to make sure they go right. The personalities kind of seem to be gelling pretty well. They have a really loose locker room. And I think part of that is because a lot of the role players are role players and know their role players. And they have a lot of just like amenable, really easygoing personalities. Like Jeremy Grant is the easiest personality you're ever going to meet. Alex Abrines, same thing. Steven Adams is absolutely like that. I mean, just like as low maintenance a $100 million player as you're going to find in the NBA, he just couldn't care less if he ever gets a shot. And I think that makes it a little bit easier to have all of these guys taking 17, 18 shots a game like they are. And, you know, Carmelo Anthony has got a reputation of a little bit of a diva, but, you know, he was also a really popular guy amongst his teammates in New York. You know, Ian Begley from ESPN wrote that piece about how he was like why they voted him, the teammate of their favorite teammate in the locker room last year. And he's an amenable personality, I think, as well. And so I think personality-wise, it's kind of all – it's fitting fine. There's stuff on the court they've got to figure out. But in terms of off the court, them getting along, them having a locker room, it's been a really loose one, I think.
And what's been lost, Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript with us here on the Lowdown, what was lost, you mentioned the Andrew Wiggins bank shot three-pointer there. It was Carmelo Anthony who hit what should have been the game winner on the play before.
Yeah.
And because there was someone who's going to get the final shot amongst these three. It was a Westbrook assist to Melo that would have won that game, barring Andrew Wiggins' deep three.
Yep. And Melo actually took another last shot in the second Minnesota game. They lost by three in that game, and the Thunder had the final possession. Westbrook gave it up to Carmelo Anthony at the buzzer in that situation as well. I mean, Russ has had a couple of opportunities to take a last shot where he could have probably justified it because he's Russell Westbrook. And certainly in that situation last year, would have been taking the last shot, and he gave it up to Melo. So I think Russ actually has made, look, he's never going to be like a low usage guy. That's never going to happen, and he shouldn't be. Like, he's Russell Westbrook. As long as he's in his prime, he should be still shooting. But I think he has made an effort to, like, last year was record breaking in terms of not just, you know, people talk about the triple doubles, but like his ball dominance was record breaking. Like, he broke the usage record, the usage rate record a season ago. And I think he has made a concerted effort to try to figure out, okay, I need to give it up here. And, you know, I need to keep, you know, these guys happy and need to involve them to make sure the offense is at full throttle. And I don't think he's figured it out all the way, but I think the intentions are there right now.
Fred, we get to see, you know, more so maybe in like a social media post or a GIF or something like that, maybe one of those Russell Westbrook faces that he makes as a reporter for one of those questions. You ever had one of those on your time covering this team that Russ looked at you like, what are you asking me?
Every single day. The answer to that question is so obvious that I want to make the Russell Westbrook face at you right now. That's how.
Yikes.
Wow.
That's a vicious. He made that face today at the Golden 1 Center.
He did.
Somebody asked him a question regarding free throw shooting that he did not like.
Mm-mm.
And you got that Westbrook face there. It's a scientific fact. If Russell Westbrook gets a triple-double, Oklahoma City Thunder win.
There you go.
There's your prediction for tonight. They're 4-0. You know, before we let you go, Fred, a lot of teams are, you know, they're 4-5 right now. The Thunder are 4-5. There's a lot of teams, particularly these new ones, in the NBA that are struggling. Cavs are kind of at the forefront of that. What would you attribute this to?
Well, if the Cavs, from watching them, they just seem like their energy level is low. For the Thunder, they've experimented with a lot of different stuff. They've lost some close games. I think they're just kind of figuring it out. You know, it's funny how, like, I'm not sure if there's like one thing. I think it's very team dependent, but it's funny how, like, some teams, they come together and we say they're figuring it out, which I do think is a legitimate excuse. It's been 9 games. Like, it's fine. I'm not concerned about them. I think they're going to be really good and they'll be fine come the second half of the season. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about that. But you also look at a team like Boston, which is super young. You know, they're plugging in guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and has new players like Kyrie Irving and lost Gordon Hayward on opening night, and yet they're just humming. Like, yeah, they can't lose right now. And it's funny how sometimes it just works and sometimes it just doesn't. I don't think it necessarily says anything about what those teams are going to be in March, but it's interesting the way that, I don't know, we can take away from it, but it's just interesting the way team by team, just sometimes it matters, sometimes it doesn't.
Fred, you got a lot to do today. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Man. This is Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript. I told you I had one small thought on the San Francisco 49ers that you were going to hate. We got that to you. We got that for you next on the Lowdown. It's Ric Flair Day here on the Lowdown. Ric Flair is everywhere on television. The 30 for 30 airs tonight. We'll talk about that about 1 hour from now before we wrap things up. We got winners and losers of week 9 of the NFL season. Coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, Josh Gordon returned to the Cleveland Browns today. Want to talk about that for a minute. He's continuing to be pretty forthright with some of his addictions.
Very open.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in just 1 second. We had Fred Katz on from the Norman Transcript a minute ago. We had the breaking news regarding Roy Holiday earlier in the hour and didn't get a chance to complete our thoughts on the NFC. In fact, there was just one team left, and it was the San Francisco 49ers, and I've been telling you for the better part of the last 20 minutes or so, you're going to hate my take on this. You, Jason Ross, are 100% right. The San Francisco 49ers do have to play Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't have to play him every single game. You have the Giants, the Seahawks, the Bears, the Texans, the Titans, the Jags, and the Rams all coming up. So far through the year, the 49ers have allowed 32 sacks through their 0-9 start. They allowed C.J. Beathard to get hit 16 times. Jimmy Garoppolo can't suffer that type of punishment for the entire year. I say play him against the Giants this week, but don't play him against Seattle. I say play him against the Bears and the Titans, but don't you dare play him against the Jags and the Rams.
You're right. I hate it.
I knew you would. I absolutely knew you would.
Yeah.
Just get him out there. Let him get his cleats dirty a little bit. And
But are you saying the punishment is because the volume of hits?
C.J. Beathard, you be the sacrificial lamb. Yeah. Yes, the volume. Okay. I'm not talking about the one big hit. You keep saying.
Yeah, because that could happen to the Giants this week if they.
Could happen. Anybody could do it. And the Giants are supposed to have a great pass rush. Where it's been, I have no friggin' idea.
Yeah.
The entire state of New York and the city of New York and everybody who's ever heard of New York is looking for their pass rush, and it's not there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the volume. I'm just talking about this year. But that offensive line is awful, and I think that is – they have so many things that they need to address, but I don't think there is one as important as at least two – quality offensive linemen to protect Jimmy Garoppolo moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that that's not a popular. I understand that that thought's not even going to happen. But as I looked at the schedule, I thought, hell, why not? Why can't you do it?
Well, of course you can. Yeah.
I mean the Cleveland Browns. This is a great example, right? Cleveland Browns
change
quarterbacks all the time.
Yeah.
Look how well it's working for them.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the Houston Texans have signed. Was it Josh Jackson?
Johnson.
Who in the blue hell is Josh Johnson?
He's been around a little bit. Hasn't been in the league for a while.
Was he the guy on Tampa Bay?
Yeah, a while back. And then went to the Giants.
Why did I think that was Josh Jackson? Who the hell is Josh Jackson?
Phoenix Suns. Yeah.
He'll probably get signed as a quarterback at some point, too.
Signing Matt McGloin to last about a week. What a shocker. Yep. More of the same.
Presented without comment.
Okay.
You know, go ahead and form your own conclusions right there, because I know people are tired of hearing Jay Ross's crap about unemployed quarterbacks.
That's right.
Josh Gordon, we mentioned him. He did an interview with GQ magazine that was released yesterday. Kind of goes along with the 11-minute video documentary, so to speak, that was posted on him on the Uninterrupted, the Browns wide receiver. Said he had a substance ritual before every game, and I quote, "We would stay at the team hotel, and then the players are allowed to go back home, get what they need, and then go to the game. So I'd leave the hotel early morning, go home, eat breakfast, do my little ritual, whatever, maybe some weed, some alcohol, and then go to the game. And then I'd definitely be partying after every game, win or lose, every game." Gordon said he started taking drugs in seventh grade.
Man.
Continued through college and even did something before every game he played in 2013 when he led the league in receiving yards while playing just 14 games. Is that good or bad? Like his admissions. Do you think like a team is more willing to trust him now? Because he's back with Cleveland. This is his first time being in the Cleveland, you know, facilities in quite a while. So he's back with the team today. He's not going to be eligible to play, I think, for another
two or three weeks,
I think. But he is back with the team for the first time. And if Hugh Jackson decides he wants to play him, he's going to have that option. But do these admissions, assuming Cleveland doesn't – and I don't know how his contract has worked. I don't know if his contract has essentially been, like suspended, meaning – he still has like 2 years or a year or a couple of years to play off because he wasn't eligible for the years that, you know what I mean? Or if he's just free to sign with somebody at the end of this season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a lot about recovering stuff like this, but isn't admissions a big part of the healing and where you want to go and where you to know where you've been and to know where you want to go? So I think that's probably important internally for him. Now, do we need to know it? Maybe not, but he's very forthcoming, the article that he tells everything of what he was doing. So, but I think that's more for him than for us. But then we hear it and see it and read it, and you go, man, he was doing all of that. Like, I have a hard time believing he would have been drunk at a game, but I could see how he could have been drugged.
He didn't say he was drunk, did he?
No, I think, but he said he drank, but I could see that after a game or maybe hungover.
But he said he would have a drink before a game.
Yeah.
There's a difference between
for
a drink.
Sure.
There are plenty of times that I've come in here at 11:50 and thought, man, this would be a whole lot easier if I just had a drink.
No, that's what I do at 11:50.
I know it is. I just like I consider going in there and joining you.
Yeah. But
drink because of me, let's just be honest.
Not at all. I don't think he could function if he wasn't drunk. There's no way. But
we've seen I'm gonna hit you with something here. I don't think this is uncommon. The alcohol, I'm not sure, because I think alcohol affects the way you can function, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how weed like calms you down, if I understand it. And we've seen how hype athletes get before games. And I think some people they especially football players, you get too hype.
Mm-hmm.
They use it as there are guys who throw up before games. There's a guys that, you know, he talked about his ritual. Maybe that was his way of leveling himself out. And what I was getting at, I'm not sure it's as uncommon as we might think it is.
I would agree with that.
Alcohol, I don't think that happens right. Very often. I think if you're drinking alcohol before a game, and I'm not talking about to the level of getting drunk, I'm talking about drinking alcohol before a game, period, you probably have a problem. But I think the weed thing might not be as random as we think it might
no,
be.
No, I totally agree with that.
And it's this article is well worth going out of your way to read. Again, is a current issue of GQ magazine released yesterday. We will come back. J. Ross and I got more Brown stuff to talk about. but this is fun because it's always fun to make fun of the Cleveland Browns. We got winners and losers of Week 9 coming up, as well as your tickets to the Causeway Classic. That is next on the Lowdown.